compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
And away we go. Hour two of the Patrick Madrid Show. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, I'm not going to ask you what you worry about each day. I imagine some of it's probably show related. But if you're like most Americans, at least the 2,000 American adults who were polled, a study finds says that the average American worries about finances as many as six times a day, worries about money six times a day. Budgets are tighter for millions of people with the 2022 year in full swing. Being money conscious is nothing new for many of us. Oh, by the way, gas is going up to $6 in California.
That's something to worry about.
Could you imagine paying $6 for a gallon of gas?
No.
I mean, if you're in Denmark, sure. Or Germany, you know, because they price it by the liter. petrol is only $2.35 a liter. Yeah, but it takes several liters to get to a gallon. So they're paying through the nose over in Europe. We're accustomed to lower gas prices. But yeah, everything's going up in price. Gas is going to be $6 or more in California soon enough. People worry about it. So they give a breakdown. Respondents agreed that millennials, 30%, and Gen Z, 22%, are better at managing their finances than their Gen X and baby boomer counterparts. At least they think that they are. I don't know if they really are. I've got a news story here somewhere in my. Oh, here it is right here. Just happened to be right at the top. It ties in with this. New York Times, 4.5 million people in the U.S. have quit their jobs just in the month of November. 4.5 million people. That's why Jimmy John's near me is not open on weekends, because they can't get enough people to work. I do not understand this. 4.5 million people voluntarily left their jobs just in November, according to the Labor Department. That was up from 4.2 million people who left their jobs in the month of October. Where are they going, you may ask yourself? Well, if you juxtapose these two stories, the New York Times giving all of the details about how many people are just abandoning their jobs, I don't know. I don't think the stimulus checks are still coming in. And if, as it says in the New York Times, if only 21% of adults say their finances are better off than they were a year ago, things seem to be going in the wrong direction. Inflation is increasing. You're going to spend $6 a gallon for gas in California soon enough. And the average American worries about finances six times a day or more. It seems to me that maybe instead of leaving your job, maybe you go get a job. I know it sounds revolutionary, doesn't it? But I'm struggling to figure out, how do these people, whoever they may be, how do they make ends meet? How do they pay their rent or their phone bill? Or their car insurance?
Just a wild guess. It's a good time to be a credit card company.
Ah.
Wild guess.
So they're heating up the plastic, but that can't last forever.
No.
You know, because event. Now, here's another possibility, and I've met people who fall into this category. They pay for their kid, and I'm talking about their adult kids, into their 20s, and in some cases even older, where parents continue to pay for their sons or daughters, cell phone bill, car insurance bill, maybe even the car payment itself, and all of these sort of basic bills that the average person has to pay for, mom and dad continue to pay for it even after they're out of college. I've never understood that. I think personally that it's counterproductive, because it creates this false sense of security that mom and dad are always going to pay for these things. When, in my view, and this is just my view, I'm just telling you my opinion, that's all. The approach that we took with raising our kids was simply, listen, if you know, when it's time for you to start thinking you might want to get a driver's license, of course, you have to get your permit and you have to go to driving school and all that. So long about 15 and a half years old, you get close to 16, they want to get their driver's license. So our policy always was, great, you can do that. We're happy to let you do that, but you've got to pay for it. and driving school might be $250. We're not going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that. Now, you don't have to get your driver's license, but if you want it, you're welcome to get it, but you have to pay for your driving school. How are you going to pay for driving school? You're going to have to get a part-time job. And so they did. And they'd get their part-time job, and they would make enough money to pay for their driving school and maybe a little bit besides that. And then when it got to the point, a little bit older, you know, when it was around the time for them to maybe get a cell phone, great. You can get a cell phone, no problem, but you have to pay for it. It means you have to work. Car insurance, once you start driving, sure, you can be on mom's and dad's policy, no problem. You could be on our policy, but the amount of money that we have to pay each month in our car insurance bill that relates to you, you have to pay for that. And true story, Cyrus, not only did that work out really well, but one of my sons came to me years later. He's grown up with kids of his own now. Came to me years later because he and I used to bump heads on stuff like this. And he came to me years later and he said, you know what, Dad? He says, I just really want to thank you. He says, when I was 16 years old and you were telling me that I had to pay for my own driving school and I had to pay for my whatever. And he says, it just really irked me. And I just like, why can't you be like all the other dads for my friends? Because their dads pay for their driving school and their dads pay for their cell phone and their dads pay for, you know, all of those things. And you would never do that. And he said, it really bothered me at the time. But he says, I look back on it now and he says, I'm so grateful you did it because it taught me how to be self-sufficient.
That taught me. Awesome. I hope my kids say that to me one of these days.
Well, I'm one for 11. You know, one of the 11 said that. And maybe the others would say the same thing if I asked them. But what for me was, pardon me, what for me was really nice about that was that he took me aside. It wasn't as though I had to ask him about it. And so it was on his mind. And he just said that. He says, you know, I would not have learned to sink or swim. I wouldn't have learned how to be self-sufficient the way I did if you hadn't been strict about this. So that meant a lot to me. And I interpret that as a kind of validation of that policy, which admittedly is, you know, it's not common. I think most parents don't do that, but that's up to them. I mean, they have to make their own decisions. I'm offering that for consideration. So do you have any policies like that with your kids, Cyrus? You don't have to be super, you know, personal, but I mean, do you give them the sink or swim model when it comes to some of those things?
Yeah, they're definitely responsible for their own actions. So as I tell them all the time, hey, you can do whatever you want, but you don't get to pick the consequences.
It's like the dentist that says, you don't have to floss all your teeth, only the ones you want to keep.
I use that line at home almost nightly. Yeah. Yep, you don't have to brush all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep.
It's so true. It is so true. So parents, if you're listening, especially if your kids are still young and they haven't hit those years yet, give it a try. What have you got to lose? You know, give them an incentive to want to get out there and work and save their money. These are all things that they need to do when they're older. I mean, you have to do it. You can't just blow through other people's money every month for your own finances. You have to earn it. And so it's good, I believe, to get the kids started on that early on and teach them that lesson in self-sufficiency. And I really do advocate it. And I think just from experience, but I also think in general, when you look back on it later, you'll say, it's like the old saying, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. So basically, you're teaching your kids how to fish so that they don't have to rely on handouts. That's all. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Brendan now in Seattle. Hello, Brendan.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you for having me. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, happy Thursday. Welcome.
I have a story. So yesterday I went to confession, and part of my penance was to look up the 7 corporal works of mercy, say a Hail Mary for each one, and ask God which one to do. And so then later on, fast forward later that night, I was walking home and it was pouring yesterday up here in Seattle. And I saw this lady who looked homeless, looked like she maybe on drugs or something, but she was crying nonetheless and looked like she was suffering. So I asked her if she was okay. And she said that she didn't really know where to go, and she needed just a place to sleep. And not really even thinking about it, instead of doing probably the right thing and helping her find a place to sleep, I kind of just said, I can't really help you with that. But I ended up giving her like $20 to hopefully go get a meal or whatever, water, or, you know, maybe Uber somewhere or find some mode of transportation to find shelter. I don't know if she used it for that. I prayed last night that she did. But as I was walking away from that situation, I couldn't help but feel extremely guilty and as though like God served the opportunity to shelter the homeless on a silver platter for me to do my penance. And I got home last night and just couldn't help but feel super guilty. And honestly, just couldn't really even look myself in the mirror. And I was hoping to go to Mass here in the next 15 minutes and receive the Eucharist, but I wasn't sure if I'm able to because of my actions last night, because I feel like it goes against the second greatest commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself. So I wanted to ask you and get your opinion. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we, in the penitential rite at Mass, when we ask for God's mercy and forgiveness, we invoke the sins that we've committed. So what I have done or what I have failed to do is the formula. And this strikes me as falling into that latter category, where you maybe not in the very moment realize that this is something that you should do, but shortly afterward you realize this is something I should have done. To what extent that's a serious sin, I think only God knows. I mean, obviously God knows, but if you feel deeply troubled about it to the point where you think that it might have been a serious omission, a sin of omission, then, yeah, follow your conscience. And if your conscience is distressed enough and you feel that this was a really serious sin of omission, then go to confession first, confess it as such, and then you'll be free of it because you'll leave it at the foot of the cross. But if I had to just guess, I would guess it's probably not a serious sin. Because in order to commit a serious sin, in the moment, you have to realize that. And you have to say, there has to be a momentary reflection sufficient that you say, I know I really should do this, and if I don't do this, it's going to be a serious thing, and then not do it. So it sounds to me as though you only realize this after the fact, but it wasn't clear in your mind that not doing this could be serious. Do I have that part right?
Yes. Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't think that you committed, I mean, in any you know, material way, or I'm sorry, in any formal way, it doesn't sound like you committed a mortal sin. So for that reason, that, in my view, and you're asking my opinion, so I'm just offering you my opinion for whatever it's worth, but it seems to me that that would not prevent you from receiving Holy Communion. You know, if on the other hand,
awesome,
you had said, I realize that if I walk away from the situation, this person's at risk. I have an opportunity to help, and I'm not going to do it because I'm selfish or I'm busy or whatever, and I'm just not going to do it, and I know God wants me to do it, and I'm not going to do it. Yeah, sure, that would be a grave sin. But what you described doesn't sound like that to me.
Yeah, it was kind of like in the moment. My house has a little couch outside underneath a little awning, and as I was walking back, I was just thinking to myself, I totally should have brought her there, because I don't think I would have had any place in my house for her. Also, I just didn't know what she would do if I were to bring her into my house.
We had a call, Brendan, a week ago, maybe longer, 2 weeks ago, perhaps, from a gentleman who had the same situation. There was a young woman who was on the street. She was in distress. She needed a place to stay. He brought her into his home. They wound up having sex. And so he was initially trying to do the right thing, and it went downhill. So I would definitely, especially if you're a single man, I mean, if you were married and had kids in the house and you wanted to bring somebody in, I mean, even that is still risky. But if you wanted to do it, that's different. But if you're a single man living alone, you definitely don't want to bring a young woman into your house, because that's just a recipe for these other problems. But you know what you could do? Mm-hmm. I'll leave you with this thought. I've been in this situation before. Somebody's down and out. It's, you know, I'm thinking about some situations that I've been in. It's nighttime. It's getting hungry out. Somebody's homeless, you know. Well, what you can do is, if you're in an area where there are hotels, go to the front desk and rent a room and just say, this person is my guest. He is going to be staying in this hotel room this evening. And then you give the person the key. You know, maybe here's a coupon for McDonald's across the street. Get some dinner or what have you. You know, be creative. And then walk away from it. And then that person can get a shower and a good night's sleep and, you know, take it from there. But at least you've done something to give that person some breathing room. And you may say, you know what, I'm going to pay for a room for a week. I'm going to pay up for a whole week. And, you know, I mean, there are ways to do it that don't put yourself at risk and at the same time do something concrete for this person who really needs it. So it's just a suggestion.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. I really appreciate your opinion and giving your 2 cents on this.
I have a feeling I've made you late for Mass. So don't let me make you late for Mass.
It's only 5 minutes away. I got a little bit of time left, but right. Thank you.
Thank you. Pray for me, please, when you get to Mass. I'd sure appreciate it. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, Cyrus, did you ever have a goldfish when you were a kid?
You know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody has a goldfish.
And you probably took it home from the fair in a plastic bag filled with water.
Were you watching me?
I did the same thing.
Yeah, I loved it. It was so fun.
And only, more than once.
Yeah, I would have like 3 or 4 of them, and I think only one of them would usually make it home. And then that one only made it, you know, a few more days.
And then you know where they would go.
Where's my flushing sound effect?
I remember my mom, the first time we had to get rid of a goldfish, and I said, well, but why? She says it goes all the way out to the ocean. So the goldfish will go out into the ocean. And that made me feel better for some reason when I was a kid. But honestly, when you had a goldfish back in the day, did you ever look at that little goldfish swimming around in the bowl and think, you know what, I'm going to try to teach that goldfish how to drive a car?
No, I never did that.
No.
My goldfish were not very smart.
Goldfish are not very smart.
Goldfish are not very smart.
Yeah, I mean, they have a brain, you know, the size of a pinhead, literally. But check this out. According to The Sun, scientists have trained goldfish to drive a vehicle.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Slow news day.
Well, I mean, this is amazing to me. It's real. There's video of it. The creatures can maneuver a specially designed fish-operated vehicle, or FOV, if you like acronyms, by swimming in certain directions in a small tank mounted in place of a driver's seat. The pioneering FOV reacts to a fish's movements in the water to accelerate, turn, and stop. A team of biomedical engineers and neuroscientists were able to train the goldfish to drive the car.
That's absurd.
It's astonishing. And here's the thing. They would get food pellets. So in other words, they train the goldfish to drive. Picture this little vehicle. It's on wheels. I'll send you the link so you can take a look at this.
This is basically how they trained me to run the show.
They give you food pellets?
Yeah, I get food pellets when I do.
Yeah, there's like a little opening in the wall where a pellet will come out. Purina, so what would that be? Purina Engineer Food or Purina whatever. Anyway, so back to the goldfish. So there are these goldfish in water. It's in a clear box. It's got wheels. It's got a motor and the whole thing. So the way that they've trained the fish to actually drive this vehicle, you know, like we want the vehicle to go 10 yards in that direction and wind up on this spot. They were able to train the goldfish to do that, to steer it to where they wanted them to go by giving them food when they got there. Six different fish successfully steered the vehicle across rooms to the targets while avoiding dead ends and decoy targets. The FOV, which again is the fish-operated vehicle, if you forgot, is fitted with four motorized wheels. The cameras track the fish's plural movements with light detection technology. Each fish learned to steer towards a pink target and earn themselves a pellet. So
that is bizarre. Well, I guess if mice can ride motorcycles, fish can drive vehicles. I don't know. It's a story.
I haven't seen that.
You never saw a little story about the mouse riding the motorcycle? You didn't see that?
No, I don't think I ever
You were
did.
Reading the Bible?
I was probably reading the Bible.
Okay. Moving on.
Let's go to Adriana in San Diego. Hi, Adriana.
Hi, Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I've been listening to Relevant Radio for maybe a couple of years now, pretty much ever since COVID came out. And I've learned so much from you, and I totally appreciate you guys. And,
Thank you.
I hope God blesses you.
Thank you.
But the reason I'm calling is because you mentioned earlier on your report on the people that are unemployed and how prices are going up.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I speak for some of us. A lot of us got lost our jobs due to not getting vaccinated. So I don't know if that may be part of that number, because after 13 years, I lost my job on November 1st because I didn't want to get vaccinated, even though I was testing weekly. So I just wanted to, you know, say that because I guess a lot of us lost our job that way. Here's what the article says: to quit.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think that is a reasonable dimension of the whole thing. How many people fit into that category, I don't know. So this is from the New York Times, and it says that more than 4.5 million people quit their jobs in the month of November. So it wasn't like they got fired or laid off or made redundant or anything, but they actually quit. Now, I wonder if a percentage of those who quit did so because, you know, on January the 1st or whatever, you've got to get the vaccination. They didn't want to do that. So that's probably some of it. But it doesn't appear to be most of it.
Like in my case, we were giving notifications in September saying that everybody needs to get vaccinated by November 1st or continue testing or do testing, provide a test result every week, which was what I did. I was providing weekly testing, always coming out negative. And then when the time got closer to November 1st, in the month of October, we got a letter saying that if you're not going to get vaccinated, then you need to submit your two-week notice. So it was like, it's either you quit or you get vaccinated. We weren't giving the testing choice anymore.
Yeah, that's happened in quite a few places. Well, this check out the article. I'm not here to, you know, defend what the article says, other than to say that as I read it and reread it, it didn't mention anything about people who quit sort of involuntarily because of the vaccine mandate. Now, that may be part of it, but it doesn't. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I think that there is a lot of work out there. I mean, I've driven. The way I'm supporting myself right now is that I'm an Uber driver. I do DoorDash. I do Instacart. Yeah. I just signed up for one that's called Hop Skip Drive. Fortunately, I have a vehicle and I'm able to do this. You know.
But what about the jobs? I mean, I'm glad you can support yourself that way. I know that it's hard work. In DoorDash, you know, you're burning up your car. But what about those jobs that are available? you know, with relatively high pay and benefits, are those jobs basically unavailable to you because you're not vaccinated? Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, I have applied at a school district. I'm a social worker, by the way. I'm a social worker. So okay. I used to work for Mac Head Start. And so I did apply at a school district because they were hiring. I guess there's a lot of positions available right now in the school districts, but it's not that easy. So you have to, you know, you apply, submit the application. The application process is super long. And then you have to submit all kinds of paperwork. And then if they choose you, then you wait for an appointment. That, by the way, I have an interview tomorrow morning. And I, you know, please include me in your prayers because I applied for a position. I applied for two positions. One was for school clerk, and the other one is for a family liaison, which is a social worker for families.
It sounds to me like if you want the jobs that will let you get by and maybe not much more than that, DoorDash will work. But if you want something long-term that's more fulfilling and will give you good benefits and higher pay, it seems like it's worth the time and energy to go through those hoops. But I wish you well, and I promise you I will say a little prayer that your job search is fruitful and that you get something that you really enjoy. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's go. Where are we going to go now? Let's go to let's go to Adriana in Orange County, California. Hello, Adriana.
Yes, hi. Hi, Patrick. This is the third time that I'm talking to you, and I wish I had another question other okay. than the one I'm about to ask you. I'm so sorry. I will try not to cry now. Okay. 3 days ago, my husband of 17 years, he said he wants a divorce. And it came at a totally shocked. Because it's throughout our marriage, he often told me that I am the only woman, there's no other women, and that he made the promise to God he will never, and so he will never leave me. So, and I suspect that he hasn't, he's seen someone else. So my question is, Patrick, how can I still completely have faith and trust? What can I do? Please help me. Tell me what to do so my faith will not be waver. And I also have completely 100% trust in him.
Yeah. Without knowing so many details about the marriage that I would need to know to be more, you know, helpful, I can only give you a few general thoughts, but I will. I'm happy to do that, Adriana. So you said your husband presented you with this demand for a divorce. Did he file for a divorce yet? Are there papers involved?
He said he will. Sorry. He said he will file for legal separation very soon. And I suspect he's doing sometime this week because he married before. And this is my first marriage.
He was married before. Okay.
Yeah, he divorced before, so he knows exactly what to do. So he and I suggested, you know, marriage counseling, and he just no. He said he made up his mind, and it's a total shock.
I understand. It must be a horrible and really painful experience for you to go through this, Adriana.
This was 3 nights now. Oh, I could sleep for 1 hour, and I just could wake up and I'm calling out Jesus and Mother Mary, please help me, just to give me the strength to go through this.
And they will. Our Lord will certainly give you the strength. I know it's easy to say, and it's not easy to go through. I can only imagine what that must be like. So on that side of things, I would say continue doing what you're doing. Keep crying out to the Lord. Stay faithful in prayer. Stay close to him in the sacraments. Ask Our Lady to intercede for you and for your marriage. Now, your husband, of course, he's going to do what he's going to do, but hopefully he will come to his senses and not take this drastic step. That's only a matter of time. You have to wait and see what will happen. I think if he won't go to counseling, I think you should go to counseling. I think you should try to plug in.
I'm looking for. I've been calling around here, my church, my parish church here, for divorce support group. Unfortunately, the only support group is like 45 minutes from where I live, or about an hour.
Well, I mentioned yesterday or the day before that, one of my friends who's a marriage and family therapist in the LA area, his name is Joe Sikora. He actually texted me to say thank you for the times that I've mentioned him. And usually he says he's not able to directly help people, but he can give some advice and direction in terms of like maybe where you could go to find a good Catholic marriage and family therapist. So I'm not a therapist. I don't have a degree in counseling or anything like that. So I would recommend that you try to plug in with somebody who has that competence. And then that'll help you, if nothing else, it's going to help you emotionally to work through what's going on. Hopefully your husband will come to his senses and won't take this step. But even if he does do that, you know, you don't want to be going through this alone, obviously. You want to have somebody who can help guide you and support you. So that's where a good family marriage therapist can help. So if you want to get in touch with Joe, his website is joesikora.com, S-I-K-O-R-R-A. And just touch base and just say, hey, Patrick said that maybe you could offer me some suggestions. And I think he'd be happy to do that for you.
Patrick, I'm sorry, what is Joe's last name again?
Sikora. S-I-K-O-L. Yeah, S-I-K-O-R-R, as in rabbit, rabbit, A. Joe Sikora, S-I-K-O-R-R-A. And just touch base with him. Now, in the meantime, obviously, your husband, if he's intent upon doing this, it's hard to know what might dissuade him from doing so. But there's another organization that I would refer you to, and it's called, Mary's Helpers, I think it is. It is an organization that started by a woman whose husband basically forced a divorce upon her. And I'm going to have to, at the next break, I will find, I should remember the name, but I'm not remembering it for some strange reason. But when we go to the break, I'll find it and I'll mention it on the air. So please keep listening. And they exist to help women in the same kind of situation that you're in, where you don't want the divorce. The husband is walking out on the marriage, forcing a divorce on the wife, or it could go in the other direction too. And they have a lot of resources available that can help you. So I would suggest that as well. So if you don't mind, Adriana, first of all, please be assured of my prayers. And I think many people listening right now are going to be praying for you as well. Thank you, by the way, Cyrus. Joe Sikora's website is now callingsong.com. So you don't have to put his name in, Adriana. Just put in callingsong.com and just tell him. Yeah, just tell him Patrick Madrid said to touch base. You know, he has said that he's not able to directly help most of the time, but he can give you a referral, I think. So let him know. He'll know what you're talking about. And then, you know what? I think the other organization is Mary's Advocates. I think that's what it is. So let me make sure I've got that correct, because I was just bumbling that a minute ago. So yeah, that's what it is. So it's marysadvocates.org. Mary, plural, obviously, or no, possessive. So marysadvocates.org. Now, as I say, that's an organization that is in existence to help spouses just like you. And when you go there, you can make contact with them and take a look at some of the resources they have for you. So that's what I would suggest. And I assure you of my prayers. I really do. I hope things do get better, God willing. Quick time out, and we'll be back with more right after this. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back, and you are welcome to call anytime that works for you, as long as it's within the next hour and 15 minutes. 888-914-9149. I just want to remind you that big tech, so that means Facebook and Twitter and all these big platforms that you and I use, they don't care at all about free speech. They just don't. I'll give you an example. Daily Wire's got an interesting article here about how Facebook has permanently disabled a publishing company's ads on Facebook because the children's books that they publish are conservatively oriented. It's a new conservative book publishing company that offers biographies of luminaries such as President Ronald Reagan, famed black economist Thomas Sowell, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and others. It's been shut down by Facebook, which has permanently disabled their ads. Facebook, this according to Fox Business, Facebook originally locked the ads on December 23rd, and after Heroes of Liberty, that's the name of the publishing company, appealed a ruling, the company permanently disabled the account. The ad account, its ads, and some of its advertising assets are disabled because it didn't comply with our policy on low quality or disruptive content, that from Facebook. Heroes of Liberty, whose website is Heroes of Liberty, if you want to check that out, they launched an appeal prompting Facebook to reply. After a final review of this ad account, we confirmed it didn't comply with our advertising policies or other standards. You can no longer advertise with this ad account, and its ads and assets will remain disabled. This is our final decision. And so it's because you've got a children's book that talks about the great things about Ronald Reagan, El Presidente Ronald Reagan, if I may say. And they will not put up with it. Now, they have the power to do this, but, you know, it's just blatant censorship. They're not interested in free speech. They don't want free speech. Well, they want certain kinds of free speech, but if you happen to like Ronald Reagan, or if you're pro-life, or if there's any such thing like that, they'll just simply say, sorry, you're not allowed to advertise.
You're spreading misinformation, so we're going to cancel you.
That's what they say.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what they say. Well, it's even more blatant than that. Basically, it's, we don't agree with you, therefore we're going to censor you.
Yep. We're seeing it.
Because we can. Now, Heroes of Liberty, they're planning upcoming books on John Wayne, who, by the way, converted on his deathbed to the Catholic faith, FYI. Margaret Thatcher, Mark Twain, General Douglas MacArthur, Alexander Hamilton, and others. And so Facebook says, nope, sorry, you're not going to sell that stuff here, because they don't want alternative points of view to be heard. They just don't. So think about that when you consider to whatever extent you have devotion to these platforms.
Well, don't fret about that, Pilgrim.
Did you know that he converted on his deathbed, Sars?
Only by listening to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a great story.
Oh, take her easy there, Pilgrim.
You came prepared for this one, didn't you? He has a grandson. I've met him. He has a grandson who's a Catholic priest in Southern California. Cool guy. But yeah, I mean, if you can Google it, he was a A-list celebrity. And I'm pretty sure he probably lived the lifestyle of A-list movie star celebrities. He had a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of clout, and he probably lived the life, if I had to guess. But, you know, talk about cutting it close, but at least he made it. So at the very end of his life, as he was near death, he received the sacraments and became Catholic and died in the state of grace. It's a wonderful story. And he's no longer a pilgrim. Pilgrim.
Cool off, Pilgrim.
You were just waiting.
I was waiting.
I like John Wayne. I think he's a cool guy. Can you imagine, Cyrus, check this out. Imagine when you get to heaven, and you know how like on Cheers, you know, when Norm would walk in, everybody would say, Norm. So they're going to say that when you walk in. Cyrus.
It'll be more like, Cyrus got in?
Well, I mean, I won't be that loud about it. I won't be. No, but can you imagine you're just sort of bebopping around in heaven and you're running to John Wayne, the John Wayne, and you're like in heaven talking to John Wayne. Because that's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I wonder if it will work like that.
It will. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I want to find out a long time from now, but I do want to find out in due time. Let's go to Stephanie in Los Angeles. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a quick question. How would you recommend to explain like the concept of heaven to a six-year-old? My son, you know, he listens to the show and he also asks a lot of questions. And I mean, even if for me as an adult, it's kind of like a hard, you know, concept to understand, you know? And so I was wondering if you had any suggestions or resources.
For sure. Well, let me start with a great resource. I've always enjoyed Peter Kreeft's writings. His last name is Kreeft. Looks like Kreeft, but he pronounces it as Kreeft. He's got a great book called Everything You've Ever Wanted to Know About Heaven. And so it's a philosopher's approach to the topic based upon what divine revelation tells us in the Bible. And, you know, things that we know from apostolic tradition. But he also talks about what are some of the things that we can assume are going to be true about heaven on the basis of what has been revealed to us. So when I talked to my children when they were little, I would tell them, you know, like at age six, I would say something like this. Well, when you get to heaven, you'll never be sad. You'll always be happy. You'll see God face to face. Mom and I will be there. Everybody you love, you know, and everybody who's there will love you and you'll love everybody. You'll never get sick. You'll never get hungry. You'll never be tired. You'll never get hurt. You know, in other words, talking about things that children experience and fear in this life. We all do, but children especially. And then I tell them something, just imagine, you're going to be able to fly. When you get to heaven, you're going to be able to fly. Now, what exactly does that mean? I don't know. But I mean, for a six-year-old mind to imagine what it would be like to be able to fly, that's pretty cool. And then as the children get older, you can become more philosophical if you want. You could talk about how, you know, you will experience perfect happiness for all eternity. And that's where it's difficult for all of us to try to imagine what that would be like, because we don't know what eternity is like. But when we get there, we will have those revelations that are made known to us, things that are mysterious right now. St. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, right now we see through a glass darkly. We can just barely see some faint images and outlines. He says, but when we get to heaven, we will see him face to face. We'll see him as he really is. And so these things that we can only guess at will become clear. Now, you could say those things. Let me offer you another thought here. And this is as to how difficult it is for us to try to imagine heaven. St. Paul said that he saw heaven in one of his ecstasies. And he says, eye has not seen nor has ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So he couldn't even describe it. It's like he couldn't put it into words, what he saw. And for me personally, Stephanie, I've always thought in terms of, imagine if you could talk somehow to an unborn baby still in his mother's womb, still in the amniotic fluid, still in the darkness and quiet of his mother's womb. Imagine trying to explain to that little unborn child fireworks and swimming in the ocean and falling in love and going to Disneyland and popcorn. And you know what I'm saying? All those wonderful things that we can experience in this life. Try to imagine, how could you possibly explain anything about those things to a little baby in the womb who's never been outside of the womb? It'd be impossible. Even if the child couldn't understand you, you know, it would be impossible. So I believe that it's even a greater leap from this life into our heavenly homeland. It will be a much bigger leap with more and better than there is from going from the womb into the world that we live in now, with beautiful sunsets and Disneyland and fireworks and falling in love and all those things. The distance and the difference will be even greater going from this life into heaven. So we do the best that we can, and we talk about how God loves us and he wants us to be happy, and we will be happy, and these are some of the things that we'll be doing, and we won't be sick, etc. I would say start there and then see where the questions lead.
Thank you. I really appreciate your suggestions. It was just that, you know, he was, you know, in Spanish, it's heaven is cielo. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, wait, the sky? You know, because cielo is sky, also in Spanish. So it's like, you know, he was like, what do you mean sky, you know? Mm-hmm. And living on earth, you know, like he thinks of the planet and, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, how do I explain this?
Yeah, I understand. Entiendo perfectamente bien. And I understand his, you know, the little childlike effort to understand it. It's beautiful, though. I mean, at least he's thinking about it. And the more mm-hmm. you focus on God and how God loves him and wants him to be happy, and heaven is the place where we'll be happy forever, you know, that really situates things for him. And he realizes that it's more about God than it is about the goodies. But there will be plenty of goodies.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick. I got to run. I got to go to mass right now.
Gotcha. Pray for me. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Maria in St. Louis, welcome to the program.
Hi, Patrick. So I need some advice, and it's actually for my sister. Okay. Her son, who's in the fourth grade at a Catholic school, they recently started a fourth grade mom's group where they just kind of get together for fun. And my sister was reluctant to go. She's already kind of one of the older moms. It's a very diverse group of very highly educated, a lot of them women. But she went and really enjoyed it. And they're doing it again this month. And the lady that's hosting it for fun is bringing in a tarot card reader. And I told my sister, you know, just don't go. But now that I think about it, I'm like, is she obligated to say something to these, you know, younger moms? And, you know, in their defense, when we were that age, my sister and I, we did stuff like that. But we didn't know any better. And what would be your advice for her to do and to say to them without she, you know, part of it's too, she doesn't want to be the stick in the mud and ruining everybody's fun. But, you know, these are not, you know, it's kind of a big deal.
I get you. I understand. Well, I think this is the perfect situation in which you are called upon to say something. And what I would say is tarot cards are, you know, part of the world of the occult. The church says absolutely not, under no circumstances should you ever dabble in the occult. So not just tarot cards, but Ouija boards and seances and palm reading and, you know, all those things that go into it that many people in their gullibility fall into. These are all part of the world of the occult. The evil one loves this stuff, and we're to stay far away from it because our hope is in Jesus Christ, not in familiar spirits who purport to tell us things about the future. So I would just tell these moms, this is a cult activity. It may seem like fun, but it's not. And, you know, I'm sure you don't want the devil in your home. Well, this is opening the door for
you. Sure is. Okay. Well, I really appreciate that advice, Patrick, that just kind of confirmed what I was already thinking and feeling in my heart. And I want to compliment you really quickly, if we have time, on how you answered the question for a dad that called in and asked you for your opinion on whether or not he should give permission for his daughter to marry the man she was living with. And how you answered that question was just awesome, and the way you gave advice. I'm really curious to know what happened. So,
yeah, is that the one? The daughter was living with the man. I think it was yesterday, maybe, or the day before. Yeah.
No, I think it was. I don't know. I feel like it was longer than that. But he was meeting up with the boyfriend, and he was thinking he was gonna the ask for his daughter's hand in marriage.
Right. And, I do kind of remember that.
He was going to ask his wife first, right? The
oh, that's
boy. Yeah. Right. That was a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good, and I don't know what episode that was, but I would like to listen to that again and
tell you what, Maria,
in my stash of archives.
You know what we can do to make that easier for you is Cyrus will find the show that was on, and we can turn that into a social media clip for you, and then you'll find it on
there. That would be great for a lot of people.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your confidence. So we'll post that when we have it ready. We'll post it on the show YouTube channel, and we'll also post it on Twitter and other places. But on the YouTube channel, you go to, first of all, go to YouTube and then go to the Patrick Madrid Show, and you'll find all the videos on all kinds of topics. That'll be a new one that we'll add there. Thanks to you, Maria. I appreciate that. Well, an hour to go, and then we'll be done for the day. So maybe give me a call now. We'll get you on the air with your comment or question. Maybe you need a second opinion, whatever it may be. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Well, take some advice, Pilgrim.